Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
It is another beautiful, beautiful summer night here in good old Sherman Oaks, California. We're sitting on top of the 36-story building here at downtown Sherman Oaks, overlooking, what is it? I can't even remember the name of the...
Palm trees and the mountains.
And the high school.
And the Notre Dame
High School. I can't even remember the name of that. I had friends that went to that high school 100 years ago. Anyway, hi, Bobby.
Hi.
I'm your host, Jim Christina, here at LA Talk Radio in the Writer's Block. And we are in studio, and Bobby Jean finally got here. She just was worried she was going to be late, but she wasn't. She walked in at the right time. And she's sitting there just over at her microphone, raring to go, I can tell.
I have papers everywhere because I forgot to staple them, and now they fell apart in the car, and now there's no order to them. So there you go.
You have time. You have time. Okay, let's get the Writer's Block is brought to you, of course, by Tuscany Bay Books and Tuscany Bay. We're there to help you out on your first novel. If you're a beginning writer or a novelist, a playwright, a screenwriter, whatever it is that you want to do, we can help you format, edit, proofread, and put your book together and give you a nice finished copy that you can be proud of and give to your friends and sell to your relatives. In fact, I talked to a customer today at Tuscany Bay and told him exactly that. I said, friends always get free books. Relatives, not so much. Make them pay.
Make them pay.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a book for a professor over at Citrus College.
Oh, that's really wonderful.
And he's written a book about paranormal experiences, his paranormal experiences.
Oh.
So it's nonfiction. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to
You'll
it.
You'll have
lot.
A great time.
We will. And Richard and I got a manuscript also from a guy. I don't know where he is, but wow. Neither one of us could get past the first four pages.
Oh, wow.
So
is this something that came in since last week?
About 3 weeks earlier. And both of us have been trying to pull something out of this, and we kind of figured out where he wanted to go with it. We just need to tell the guy, look, you got to go back to school before you can really submit this, because it's just, it's way too much work for us. You know, edit, fine. Proofread, great. Not rewrite. We don't do rewrites. So, anyway, you can get a hold of us at Tuscany Bay at 805-795-3165 or J. Christina at Tuscany Bay Books or Richard Polinelli, Paolinelli, at TuscanyBayBooks.com. And we'll be there to give you a hand. Also, it's brought to you by OWEST, which is your online source for top brands that are a reflection of the equestrian and the Western lifestyles. Shop for unique and distinctive apparel, boots, hats, fashion accessories, I like that. That means home decor, books, music, and general merchandise. National brands include the Scully Leather Company, Rockmount Ranchwear, Dan Post Boots, and American West Handbags, just to name a few. Their number is 877-340-9378. And if you are interested in attending the concert series, which is next Friday, a week from tomorrow, when at the end of the show, Bobby will tell you who's going to be on.
There
we'll keep
go.
It a secret till
okay.
then. The direct line for their concert series tickets is 661-347-9700. And if you tell them that you heard about it on the Writer's Block, they go from $25 to $20.
So or maybe even better if you're bringing a friend.
Well, there you go. See? Spoken from the person who would know that. And, of course, since 2009, Target Freight has had a full truckload service, TFM Truckload. That's the very best in the industry. Not only are they exceptionally good at what they do, but they strive to make your full truckload shipping experience unparalleled. Call TFM Truckload today at 844-653-7789. Ask for Mike Matruski and tell him you heard it on the Writer's Block, and TFM will have a little something extra for you. And if you are an LTL shipper, getting your freight moved your way, the most expedient way possible, is what you want. One-stop shop, no hassle. Call Target Freight Management today. Their customized traffic movement program is the finest in the industry. So call 888-653-1323 or go to www.targetfmi.com on the web for both truckload and LTL. Call them or go to the web today. They're great, great, great people. And that's pretty much it for me. I'm done. I'm gone now.
No, now we get to talk to our guest.
Yes, we do. Tonight's guest is, he's a returning guest. His name is Chuck Walsh. And Chuck, he was on the show last March. Actually, St. Patty's Day.
Was it? I know it was March, yeah, 2016.
And Bobby at that point made a comment that she was wearing green, only you couldn't see it.
And tonight I'm in blue, so use your imagination.
Well, yes, yeah, well, you are wearing blue.
I am.
Yeah. Anyway, Chuck's an outstanding writer. He lives in South Carolina, and I'll let him tell you a little bit more about himself. He is he's written a couple, three, four books. Tonight we'll be talking about a book that actually is not out yet.
I know. Oh my gosh!
It doesn't come out until next month, I believe. He could probably clear that up for me. But the name of the book is Black Mingo Creek. It is an absolutely wonderful thriller and mystery all the way to the end. It takes place in the swamplands of South Carolina. It is really a good story
and a great read.
And I'd like to bring him in now. Will you please welcome Chuck Walsh to the Writer's Block? Chuck, you with us?
Yes, I am. Good evening. How are you?
Oh, we're good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Listening to you guys talk, it's obvious you guys are having a good time.
Well, we always have a good time.
We always have a good time, especially with a good read like we just had.
You know, we always say that it's for us to be in the studio, it's like, it's really great. It causes a dynamic that we can't do on the phone. You know, I mean, Bobby does a show during the morning, and it's all telephone work. And it's just different.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's great, but it's different.
I mean, you get to sit here, look across the desk and all the engineering stuff, and I see Bobby sitting over there grinning and, you know, loud, now she's giggling. But.
Or I raise my hand, which means I have something to say. Or I look away from Jim out the window because I don't want it to look like he's trying to get my attention because I want to finish my thought.
There you go. But anyway, so we always are happy to have our writers show up, and thank you again for allowing me to call you, Chuck. you were a little bit hard to get hold of the last couple of days, so.
Oh, yeah, Chuck,
been out of town, but for a good reason.
We loved this book. We can't wait to talk to you about it.
Yep.
It's a pretty good storyline, isn't it?
It is an outstanding storyline, and I guess I'm just going to ask you the very first obvious question. Where did it come from?
I spent a lot of time when I was a young boy down in the swamp, Four Hole Swamp, and most of my books in the past, of the five I've written, three of them have taken place up in the mountains of Tennessee, which you guys have read those books, and I figured I wanted to go a little further down south to the coast, and so I thought that would be a great location for this murder suspense, not so much a murder mystery as you can tell, because it's not the whodunit so much.
Right, it's why did he do it?
Why did he?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, why did he? And
right. And so, to me, I wanted to create a hero that, you know, had blood on his hands and, you know, and that you'd end up pulling for.
Right.
At the beginning, you'd think there'd be no way you would. But by the end.
Well, you managed.
Yeah. You know, Chuck, in all of your books, the landscape is like a character. And in this book, I've never been into swampland. I feel like I have been in swampland.
Oh, yeah.
And a variety of different kinds of swamp. We're in the Four Holes, and we're in the Black Creek, Black Mingo Creek, and we're in you've got all kinds of, you take us through all kinds of other places like Gleason's Tributary and the Mallard Lake and Buck Creek and Dead Cypress Fork and all kinds of places. And Jim, you can just feel that Spanish moss and those cypress trees that have knees. I didn't know about knees, you know? And the water and the gators and the moccasin snakes. And, you know, you just take us on you give us such personality to the landscape and the sky overhead.
Right, right. It's just a wonderful. It's like riding a roller coaster.
Yeah, and it really talk to us a little bit about, because you could, an author can over describe something or under describe it. You seem to kind of hit it on the head. Talk a little bit about that process.
Okay, to me, that it's just important the backdrop, the scene, where it is, and I just think it's important to take the reader by the hand and to each scene, but not to just hit them over the head with it, but to lay out a description that can be something that they can imagine clearly. And so I like locations that have a personality to them or a significance. Mm-hmm. And so for this Mason Mims to be hiding out in this swamp where he grew up, and this swamp is truly, if you get back on a cloudy day, back in the middle of it, everything looks the same, and it's so easy to get lost, mm-hmm. and it's so beautiful, but it's just it's remote and kind of an eeriness about it. And to me, I want to bring that to life so that it is, so like the scenery is almost like a character, mm-hmm. and this is important perhaps as the characters.
Now, the places you describe, I'm doing Black Mingo Creek, which is a ways from Four Corner Swamp.
Mm-hmm.
These are all real places, I'm going to assume.
Yes, they are. In fact, I like to take photographs of the places that are going to be my settings, so when I can just draw them up, and so, you know, I can describe and, like, here, this scene, it'd be great for this, mm-hmm. that type thing. And so we were coming, Black Mingo Creek is on the way home from Pawleys Island, which is below Myrtle Beach, where my daughter lives. And I had been working on this book for almost 2 years and still didn't have a title. I was like, I gotta have, I just couldn't. And so we're riding back home, and she told me about a shortcut, and it went across Black Mingo Creek. Uh-huh. I was like, what a cool name. And so I went home and started researching what it was, what it meant, and then I told my daughter, I said, you got to take me on this creek and this tributary. And she said, well, my best friend lived on there with her family. She said, we'll go on jet skis and we'll go riding on. So we're on the back of the jet ski, and my wife is really good at taking pictures. So I've got her on the back of this jet ski riding down the creek. Take a picture of this. Take a picture of that. She's trying to keep from falling off the jet ski while she's taking these pictures.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, I was going to say, somehow I'm having a hard time picturing a jet ski in this venue, but okay. Yeah, I'll go with that.
Here's a little
yeah,
clue, Chuck.
Jet ski in the book. Just get down there to take pictures of it. And so I love the name of the creek, and I just love the storyline behind it. And it's more of a tea-colored water instead of that black water like the Emerald Swamp. And so it's different, but it's still just as beautifully eerie. And so I just thought that that's where he Mason Mims needed to...
I was curious about the name, and I have to say, I was curious about the usage of Black Mingo Creek throughout the whole book until the very end, and then all of a sudden the relevance of everything came together right there.
Okay.
I guess maybe we should, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about, go ahead and tell them a little bit about the book. You know, give us
as much as you want.
Yeah,
you don't want to give away
anything.
Okay, Mason Mims, who grew up near the Four Hole Swamp, has been accused of killing his brother's wife and daughter. And so he is hiding out in the swamp, avoiding the police, who he knows they can't catch him. He knows that they won't, until he can get revenge on the people who actually did it. So it's a cat and mouse game, and he's coming out of the swamps, and he's going to get revenge on who did it. And so that's what the whole book's about. It is escaping long enough to get revenge, and because he got to a point where it's like, hey, there's no turning back, and this is what I've got to do. And so that's what it all kind of revolves around.
I really like Mason, and from the very first line, I'm not sure, of course, that I will. You reveal a really wonderful, complex character who he and his brother, you take us back through their childhood, and you bring us up to, you know, current times. It, right early in the book, I love this line you say, you write, his stomach rumbled as he tried not to think of his hunger. At daybreak, he would strike, excuse me, food for the body and vengeance for the soul. And then we get right into it.
Yes, we do.
And kind of how he takes care of food for the body and vengeance through the, for the soul for the next 300 and some pages.
Well, and he was very hungry.
Yes.
He had a lot of feeding to do.
Now, I'm curious how you weave the story. You give us present time. You know, the book starts right off in kind of present time, and then you take us back, and it's not flashbacks through his eyes necessarily. It's really you as the narrator. You know, you flip us back to 1989, and you share some things, and then you bring us to contemporary time, and then you take us back to 1990 and such. Talk a little bit about how you came up with that literary process.
Okay. I wanted to start in present time, so you're just, the reader is like, why is he doing this? Mm-hmm. And what could be going on? Why? What would make him become the way he's become? And so the flashback, so to speak, taking the reader back, is to give a buildup of story and glimpse of a kind of a timeline to, like, okay, I see this happen, I see that happened, now you see as the book goes on, then it's like, now I understand why he's doing what he's doing and why he is what he is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
that,
and
that's the whole purpose of that. And again, that, you know, that, to me, you have to. It's a delicate line where you don't want to confuse the reader. Like, okay, where are we now? And where are we back to the present? And but so I try to carefully plan that out so that it's something that's easy to follow. But then each little thing is like almost like peeling back another layer. It's like, okay,
exactly.
I'm learning more about Mason Mims and what has happened to him in the past and what is driving him on as the book unfolds in the present.
And some of the characters, I mean, this is kind of in his hometown that this is all taking place as he's an adult, but as you take us back, we meet some of the major characters as adults. We meet them when he was in school with them, and we begin to meet some of these characters from his past that continue to have a part in his current time. When you were writing, did you already know that you wanted to do it that way? Or, you know,
no.
Okay.
No, and I think the last time when I was on, I talked about this. When I start a book, it's just a story idea, and it's like, all right, this would be a great opening scene for this book now. Mm-hmm. What happens? And so that's why it takes me a good 2 years to write each book. I have to let it kind of come to me. It has to unfold, and then it's like, where do I go next? And then, this is where I need to go next. And so it just kind of grows and grows, and then it kind of becomes like, wow, I didn't see this coming either.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
So that makes it even more interesting and fun to write. And but it is kind of, sometimes you feel like you're just kind of beating yourself to figure something out, because it's like, well, okay, it's, something else has got to happen next,
right,
to make this thing go. And so, it's a slow process, and it just kind of grows as the book goes on.
Yeah, it's like a lot of writers find out that when they're writing characters, especially ones that are well-developed, that if they let the character go, the character will do things that will even surprise the writer.
I agree wholeheartedly. Well, and sometimes you almost have to draw back and, like,
you really do.
I want to. Yeah. In fact, that, and I won't give away too much here, but after he says he wants food for the vengeance for the soul. That next scene, I was contemplating that two people would be taken out of that scene.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I was talking that with my wife. She's like, you can't do that. You cannot do that.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
you're probably right. But then, two, if that would have happened, then there's no way you would be pulling for him.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was like, yeah. So mm-hmm.
And you can't take out too many at one time.
I was contemplating it.
He takes out quite a few.
Well, not all at once.
He does, eh?
Yeah, I started kind of counting them up. And
you know, there was a bunch of them.
They all needed to go, though.
Yes, they did. Well, yes, they deserved it. And then, well, you know, then some of it was by proxy, you know, not necessarily them, but...
Sure.
Well, another thing, and Jim, did you discover this as you were reading? You introduce a character, but we don't know who he is. And at times I thought maybe you were writing about Mason, because the same character is kind of in the woods with him.
Yeah, his name was he or him.
Yeah, and sometimes I'd be thinking, oh, this is Mason, and then like, no, because Mason is, you're giving us a hint that Mason is aware that somebody's on his trail, but it's not one of the guys that's really, you know, looking for him. And slowly you reveal who that is. And when I finally figured that out, it was like, oh, could it be? And then I kind of had to go back and reread a little bit because, you know. So did that come to you, or did you know all along you were going to have somebody following him that was not the police? You know, was not law.
Yeah, along on that one, really, from that first open scene, because that's who he's got his sights set on in the swamp.
Right.
And he's like, you know, I could take him out now, but I can't yet. And so I wanted to delay as long as possible for the reader to know who that person is following.
Right.
Was. Uh-huh. And then when it was revealed, it's like,
Well, and the same thing. There's a character that we meet in the cafe with Chrissy, and we don't, you know, there were times when I thought,
who is this
Mason?
Guy?
I'm like, nobody's clean shaven, and Mason can't be shaving. He's out there in the swamps. You know, he doesn't even get a shower or anything, you know? It's like, okay, so who is this character?
Right. I was wondering the same thing. I thought, well, wait a minute. Who is this guy?
And what's his name? Wait.
After reading,
it's not a comedy. What we always laugh on this show because these books are so delightful that we read.
Just sometimes you get so darn excited and surprised by what happens. You know, you turn a page and you go, "Whoa!"
Exactly. Yes, and I do think this book is a book to read aloud because your descriptions are so. Oh, they're just so right on. It's like looking at wonderful paintings, and I've said that before about the writings in some books, but I would say that's true with each book I've read of yours, that you just throw us right into that landscape.
Yeah
Beautifully.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now we're in comparison, you're in Columbia, right? You live in Columbia?
Yes. In fact, we've got our guest bedroom waiting for you guys to come down for the solar eclipse on Monday.
Oh, if only we thought of that earlier.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Because out here in California, we're not getting
we're just getting a little slice of it here.
Monday.
Yeah, that's an exciting thing that's going to happen. That deserves to be in a book.
Well, my brother's right in the line of travel, so, and he lives in Lebanon, Oregon, so.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting excited.
He's in the 100%.
Yeah, he is. Well, 99.8, I think, is what it is. But yeah,
okay,
that's about as close as 100.
Yes, and
right, that like one of the top spots where it's the place to be.
So, and my friend Gary Holt, that I do the morning radio show. He's right there in the Nashville area, and they're like at 100%. We were talking about that this morning on the show, and the thousands and hundreds and thousands of people that are coming into that area for a Monday. Yeah, and the only time
you wanting to know as far as where Columbia relative to the
relative to Bandigo? To what you to the four hole swamp and all of this, how far?
Okay, it is about 70 miles to the southeast is the four holes, and it's on its way to Charleston, so it's probably about 50 miles above Charleston.
Uh-huh.
And Black Mingo Creek is almost dead east of Columbia, and it's about 25-30 miles from the coast, Georgetown, and some just beautiful land down there that's right at the coast of South Carolina there. So they're both within, I can get there in a little over an hour.
Uh-huh.
And so they're, Columbia doesn't look like that at all, but it's just, and I think it's just more remote and more beautiful than Charleston. I mean, it's like it's the in-between, and it's just, it's not the beach, but it's not the flatland, so it's just that in-between swampland.
Right. Now, is this really, is this really swampland? Or is it, it actually is it a tidal swampland, or is it actually inland?
Yeah, it's inland, and it's the Four Holes is a true inland swamp tributary that feeds from a couple different rivers, the Eddystone, things, and forms a full fledged swamp.
Mm-hmm.
The Black Mingo Creek is kind of an offshoot from the Black River, and it flows towards Georgetown that way. So it's an independent kind of a creek that's about the size of a river, though. I mean, it's very wide, and just it's just nonstop, just like switchbacks. And it's very beautiful, but a little different looking than it is in the Four Holes.
I'm just trying to picture it, and it's not happening for me.
One of the characters makes this comment about Mason Mims. He's armed and dangerous and knows this area like he was at God's elbow when he designed the place.
Yeah.
And he knows it truly like the back of his hand.
Oh, yeah.
And most of the other characters don't. They know it, but they don't know it as well.
Yeah, well, he and his brother spent a lot
Except
of time out
for
there
his
growing
brother
up.
Trey. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us about Mrs. Icy. She's really cool. Tell us a little bit about her.
Yeah, she's kind of based on a woman. When I used to spend a lot of time at the Four Holes, there was a woman that lived there, and she was just like Icy is. It's just, it wasn't her name, but I just thought that was, I knew another person by that name, and I just always thought that was a cool name to, for a lady to have. But just very tough. Husband had died a long time ago, and so lived on her own, and was very fair but firm, and it had taken in an older friend of mine, and he lived with her for a while, and she just kind of almost gave him a new lease on life and kind of directed him in the right way, so he kind of had a shot at life again.
Yeah, she's one of the good guys in the book. And she's known for her caramel cake. I want to know what caramel cake is.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they make it down in that area, and it's just... I could eat a whole one if there was one. The caramel itself on the cake is just, and it seemed like the icing on top is a good inch and a half, and it's so good. But that's the only place that I'm really familiar with it and had eaten it, but it is so good.
I had never heard of
I hadn't
caramel
either.
Cake.
And so. She's also a snake whisperer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've never heard of that.
And I had
either.
Never heard of that term either. Like, oh, there are snake whisperers? That sounds like a new reality TV show, you know?
What is it? They walk up and you go, psst.
Yeah.
Give me a joke.
And this was another thing I hadn't heard of before, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right, but is it Simbi, the Simbi bottles?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Those are true. Beliefs by and it was brought over from the West African slaves,
right.
And that's why if you ever get to come down and you look on the doorways, they'll have like colors, like if it might be a blue door, blue windows, because it brings in the good Simbi spirits, and there'll be other colors that ward off the bad ones. And it doesn't seem like as much like it used to be, but you used to could ride down like Black Mingo Creek and some of the Black River down there, and you would have the colored bottles hanging from the tree limbs right at the water's edge, where the houses were, and the same thing with ward off spirits and bring in the good spirits, and I just thought it was a very fascinating belief and culture, and I wanted to put that into the book as well.
Well, now, is that actually a precursor or actually a derivative of voodoo? Because voodoo came in from West Africa as well.
Right, right, and I don't know if it'd be considered that, but I just think it was just a certain area of people, I guess, from Africa that came that was truly just what they believed. But I don't think it did anything like voodoo would, cure things.
Yeah.
I think it was just all for the water spirits, that they believed that the water contained spirits that were good and evil, and it was just to block the bad the spirits, and then to bring in the good ones. So I don't think it was set on where it can cure much, but it was to prevent things.
Uh-huh. It's just a beautifully written book, I have to say.
Well, thank you.
I was curious. Mason is you know, he's a fabulous sharpshooter, and he does. You have him joining the military, and it appears that he could really have an illustrious career, and then something happens and things change in his life. But I there was a part of me that wanted you to take him into, you know, not have that happen in the military and actually have a career in the military, because he's such a cool character. And I was curious, like, how would he have handled being, you know, in the military? Obviously, you have a different vision for the story, and it takes a very dramatic right. turn, which totally changes his life. But he is such a cool guy.
He really is.
There was a part of me that wanted you to write another book using him and not having that happen, you know, like, and then write a different story where he goes, you know, he gets past that. He doesn't go back to the barracks, right. you know,
yeah.
and kind of.
And when I came to that realization that kind of needed to happen, I'm like, oh no, poor guy, this is terrible. But it's like it's got to happen to
yeah,
him.
So yeah, so that was yeah so compelled
for
you
the story to unfold and for him to also then for what happened after that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, relationships changed with who was with who and that kind of thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I could see your reasoning that, you know, for this to happen, this has to happen. And I it works just like fate, I'm sure, you know. Okay, in order for you to meet this person, this has to happen. And if this doesn't happen, I guess you're not going to meet that person. You meet this person instead.
Right. Yeah, so it's like writing a book and having it have three different kinds of, you know, That he doesn't go back to the barracks,
right.
you know. He just goes out to wherever he was going to go, and now the book would have this kind of an ending, you
right.
know.
Well, you know, they did a couple people tried that in like the 60s and 70s. They wrote books with three different
and
endings,
movies, I think,
and
I
you
think.
And you got to pick. You got to pick which ending you wanted, yeah, mm-hmm. and then right. that's where that's the page you turn to, and that's where it went.
Yeah, I could sort of see that with this. I'd have to start a little differently because the start wouldn't happen the way it starts. If,
no,
you know. But anyway, I just have to say I really liked him, and you created a really wonderful guy that I wish life had been given him a little different turn than it did.
Well, I have to tell you, Chuck, Bobby falls in love once a week.
I do. I confess. I could never write a bad book review. That's partly why I don't write them, because I pretty much love everything I read.
Let me take a second here to tell our audience that if they want to call and talk to you, if I could actually connect you two. the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. Again, if you want to call and talk to Chuck this evening, it's 818-602-4929. And he's on the phone right now, and he's be willing to take whatever questions you guys got or comments or... You can't talk about Black Mango Creek because it's not out. When is it going to be released?
So there's the next questions, yeah.
Well, we signed the contract 2 weeks ago, so I'm waiting for the publisher to sign their editor to me and let us get started. You know, that usually takes about a couple of months where you work with their editor and sign off on everything. And then, so I would imagine the release would probably be maybe by November or December.
Okay.
But they haven't told me that yet. But kind of based on the past history and when I've done these,
and that's always out.
And is it a publisher you've worked with before, Chuck, or is this a new publisher for you?
No, this the same publisher that published Shadows and Iron Mountain and Backwoods Dust.
And they had
told me if you have another mystery, please give us first shot at it.
So that was Champagne Books.
Yeah, Champagne Books. Yes.
Okay.
And so I like working with them, and they're great. And Kathy Knight does a wonderful job. And I look forward to working with them and their editor that they assigned me. But yeah, I'm looking forward to getting this one out. And so this will be number six, book number six.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be split down the middle, three murder mysteries and three that are more just like, you know, literary fiction type.
Right.
Your character, Jack Swanson, in this, he's a special agent. And it felt to me, I went back to review the other books I had read, because I almost felt like he had been involved in a couple of the others. But he was new to this book, right? He's not investigating.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing that you brought up. My best friend, his last name is Swanson, and so this could be like a trivia question maybe in 10 years from now.
Well, could be.
And so there's one character in every book that's got the name Swanson.
Oh,
not related to anybody from the other. It's a whole different thing, but that's his last name. So.
Okay, because I felt like I've read. Okay.
That's pretty cool that you detected that. I remember that name.
Well, she's pretty good at that.
Well, and I could kind of see him as a character that could come back to investigate.
I was just going to ask.
Were you going to ask that?
is there plans of bringing Jack Swanson into another story down the road? Because I loved his character.
Yeah, he's a, you know, because he caught on.
He did.
He caught on. He's a sharp guy. And he had a heart for Mason.
Yeah. He did, and he just wasn't tolerating all the bubbas down there in the swamp.
Yeah. right. Yeah, and there were some tough ones down in that swamp.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm sure
but
there
he,
are.
He would make a good character again, then, and maybe I will bring him back to life again in another book.
Okay, well, if you do, just remember, you heard it here in Writer's Block
first.
Yeah,
we're making that suggestion, you know. And I liked Chrissy and Trey, too.
I do, too, I hope they wind up in California.
Or somewhere.
Fat, sassy, happy.
Yeah, I really liked her. In the beginning, I was kind of like, what's she all about? And then I really liked how you developed her from kind of a... what could have been a cliche sort of, you know, waitress in the cafe to really a woman with a great heart.
Right.
And I loved that she was an artist and she was, you know, she was complex.
She was.
And I liked that. Yeah.
And she tolerated the sheriff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Thank you for we won't spoil it.
We won't go
we won't go there. You got to read the book when it comes out.
That's right. Hopefully you're getting your listeners' curiosity up, so now they'll be ready.
We are. Okay, we're going to have, you know, we have our roaming reporter is going to be calling us here in a few minutes.
Oh, okay.
Henry. And But we got a few more minutes, so talk to me about Writer's Block.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have it? I'm sure you have.
Mine comes it's almost like I come in spurts. It's like I have to create this next scene, and I don't know what it's going to be yet. And so I go for my run through the woods near my house, and it's like before I come out of there, I've got the next scene, I've got the next chapter, the next book, maybe the book idea.
Uh-huh.
And so what I do is when I have that idea and I come back and it's like, get this down, and I do, and I know that, you know, it sounds terrible right now, but you just got to get it on you know, on the computer, on the paper, and then you'll come back obviously and make it flow and everything. But I do that, and it's like, okay, I'm kind of spent, and back away a little bit, all right, and now come up with the next one. So I don't really get to where I'm writing, and then I just stop and like, oh no, I just, you know, nothing's coming to mind. I just back away and like, don't even attempt to come on here and get and open this book back up until you have the next scene ready. Now sometimes I'll do it, and I was like, okay, I know I don't have what's next, so I'm going to go back to the very beginning and start the editing and start making it flow and making it sound, you know, as best as I can. And then while I'm doing that, it's good that, you know, that next thing's going to come to me sometime, you know, maybe if it's that day, the next day, or the next week. And then I was like, all right, now I'll go back to where I left off, and this is what I do now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's as good an answer as any.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, Bobby keeps threatening that she's going to put all these answers together someday. And
yes, I'm going to write the Writer's Block book on Writer's Block. From the desk of Writer's Block. But I have this Writer's Block, and I can't seem to get it started.
I can't seem to get it, yeah.
Maybe that's the title. I have this Writer's Block, and I can't seem to get it started.
There you go. I like it. Okay, Chuck, why don't you give our audience where they can contact you, get a hold of you, email, Facebook, Twitter?
The website is chuckwalshwriter.com.
Okay.
And you can find me on Facebook, Chuck Walsh Writer, or Chuck Walsh, and follow me, and always give updates. And we have I'm on Instagram as Chuck Walsh, and Twitter, Chuck Walsh. So you can find me there, and I try to keep everybody updated on what's happening, and we're working on a screenplay now for my first book, Month of Tomorrows, which I think you guys read last year. That's based on the old man who's dying of cancer, and he's
Yes.
I've been put in touch with a professional screenwriter, and who read the book, and she was just so excited. She said, "This would make a great movie," and I said, "I've been thinking that for 5 years."
Yeah.
So we started about 3 weeks ago, and we are co-writing the book into a screenplay and trying to turn it into a movie.
That's a process.
So you need to be also posting on the Facebook Writer's Block page, especially as news comes out of when this book, Black Mingo Creek, is available for purchase, or any updates on it. We would love it if you would remember to post that on our page as well.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And thanks again.
That as being an opportunity for me to do that.
There you go. And thanks again for joining us tonight, Chuck. I know it's getting late out there, and, you know, being out there and...
At least it's not 11 o'clock.
At least it's not 11 o'clock. I read that today, and I thought, wow, what a guy. Well, Chuck, hey, look, get a hold of the bookie. You get anything else written, or when this one comes out, see if you can get another spot scheduled for next year. We are booked up through April. You know, we always love to have you, and we're always going to welcome you back in. And if you have anything going on, never be afraid to call us.
Okay. Thank you very much for having me, and I've really enjoyed being on your show. You guys are wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much, and we love having you. So have yourself a great evening, and we'll be talking.
Thank you, Chuck. Okay. Keep writing.
Thanks, Chuck.
I sure will. All right,
good night.
Bye-bye.
And keep writing, and I'll keep reading.
There you go. And Henry's right here.
All right.
Would this be Henry Park?
It certainly is. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Henry, how are you?
A voice we haven't heard in a while. Hi, Henry.
Hey, I have to ask you. Last week, did you tell me you just got back from Dublin?
That's right. Just last week, and the Guinness is still working its way out of my system.
Oh, my God. I absolutely can believe that.
Room temperature Guinness. You can have it with every meal there.
Of course you can.
It's a prerequisite. I mean, doesn't it just come with the meal, like water would here?
Well, you know, in Ireland, there are four major food groups. Ale and Guinness being stout being one of them.
Okay. And what are the other three?
Well, of course, you have protein.
Okay.
And Guinness.
And potatoes.
That's right. That's starch.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
So did you have a wonderful time?
I had a terrific time. My wife and I just had a lovely time, and you know, it was just great. Just beautiful, beautiful place. And you wouldn't think there was much, like, Western stuff to talk about in Ireland.
No.
But there is a little.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is some.
Guess which major spaghetti Western had a sequence shot in a Dublin pub?
I couldn't even deign to guess that one.
It's Leone's A Fistful of Dynamite, aka Duck You Sucker.
Uh-huh.
Duck You
okay.
Sucker, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Right. You remember James Coburn's character,
yes.
John Mallory, is an explosive expert for the Irish Republican Army.
Right, I remember that.
From the Brits and hiding out in Mexico.
And wearing his wool pants and his sweaters.
Hey.
But,
there's a flashback scene where he's in a Dublin pub and he gets in a fight with a bunch of British soldiers, and they actually shot that in Dublin in Toner's Pub on Bagot Street, which has been in business since 1818. And was also the favorite pub of the King of the Cowboys, Peter O'Toole.
King of the Cowboys.
Well, okay, maybe that's but it was his favorite pub. And guess what is the biggest pizza chain in Ireland?
Oh, Shakey's.
Papa John's.
Apache Pizza.
Apache?
Never heard of
pizza.
It.
Pizza. Oh my God.
Yeah,
is it good?
They've got it. You know what? The stores are cute. I didn't want to waste one of my meals.
Why am I coming to Ireland
eating Irish pizza? I know that's terrible. But they have 130 stores. And it's all decorated with pictures of buffaloes and stuff.
Oh, my
God. And their slogan is, "Too many cowboys, just one Apache."
Oh, my gosh. That is so fun. Well, and of course, we do know that there is a huge history of Irish in the West. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, Irish influence in the West. There may not be a lot of influence of us, of the West in Ireland, but oh my goodness, huge influence.
Well, 30% of the 7th Cavalry was made up of Irishmen.
Absolutely.
And Germans.
Right.
Including Miles Keogh.
Miles Keogh, yeah. Good Irish boy.
Yeah.
From
and
Ireland.
Celtic music and just, you know, huge, huge, huge impact.
And we had their fighting song, Gary Owen.
Yes. Drinking song.
And
fighting songs are drinking.
Well,
songs,
yes. They always
it's kind the of, only kind way of, you could fight.
Filter their way down to being a fighting song.
Oh, well, so what is your news for us as we're having such fun just catching up with you? What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you, I am so far behind on the roundup that most of the things I told you were going to be in the next roundup haven't gotten there yet.
Okay. Well,
but
I just read your roundup.
I'm always trying to catch up and failing, but I have got some interesting events that are coming up starting tomorrow.
Okay.
This weekend at the Lemley Theaters, they will celebrate their second annual Western Weekend at the, and I never know how to pronounce this, A-H-R-Y-A, Hyra Film Fine Arts Theater in Beverly Hills.
Oh,
it used
know.
To just be the Fine Arts, another name ahead of it. They're showing great movies, great guests on Friday night. It's the Great Northfield Minnesota Raid in 35. And writer-director Philip Kaufman is going to introduce it.
Wow.
Fun fact,
that's
filmed in Jacksonville, Oregon.
Is that right?
Yes.
Jim knows everything.
I don't know everything.
He
just speaks it with authority, and then we have to go look it up after and see whether he was right or not.
Feel free.
On Saturday afternoon, Marriott Hartley will be attending the movie that introduced her on screen, Sam Peckinpah's Ride the High Country.
Mm-hmm. Love the movie.
In 35. And that night, they're going to show Gunfight at the OK Corral and The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Wow.
On Sunday afternoon, they're showing Hombre with star Barbara Rush attending.
Wow.
And Sunday night, High Noon will be introduced by producer Stanley Kramer's widow, Karen Kramer, who did quite a few Westerns herself when she was Karen Sharp.
Oh, what a great lineup.
Holy crap.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I just got an email from the theater chain, and if you are part of their whatever crowd that follows them, I believe the first movie, what was the first one again? Great Northfield, Minnesota Raid.
Yes.
There are going to be some free tickets. I don't know how many, but get your reservation in if you can go.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw that movie here again recently.
That's very, very exciting. And this is their second annual, so they're making this an annual festival.
Right. When you get to second annual, it looks like maybe it's real.
Right. Yeah.
First annual, you never know.
Well, how can they call it a first annual? It's just...
No.
Yeah.
The inaugural.
Inaugural annual. Right.
Inaugural annual. Yeah.
You know, we have a Lemley Theater under construction in Santa Clarita. Very exciting. It's been in the plans for a long time, and they are building it now.
Oh, really?
Right across from the library that's now, 5 years old, but it's going up right opposite the library.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, very exciting to have that coming into town.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that a stage theater or a movie theater?
A Lemley Theater, yep.
Oh, a Lemley.
Yeah,
I'm
thinking it's probably planned, to open next year. They have to build a parking garage as well. So, I mean, it's a big, structure that is going up in that space, so... The parking structure looks like it's well underway. I think they're building that first and whatever, however. It's, but, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Oh,
now, at the Autry, not this weekend, but next Saturday, the 26th, they're screening a pair of Gene's movies in Old Monterey and Heart of the Rio Grande, or Grande. And, Gene was in the Army Air Corps during the war.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the 75th anniversary of his enlistment. So... both of these are war effort films, so World War II is part of the plot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of fun.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Henry. Let me ask you a question, because I'm not sure. I heard this. I'm not sure if this is true or not. Gene Autry going in the Army Air Corps during World War II gave Roy Rogers his shot to become King of the Cowboys.
That's absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were already grooming him because Herb Yates liked to have you know, a little muscle behind people, you know, if they weren't cooperating all the time. And Gene was getting more and more independent, so he wanted to have somebody coming up. And then when Gene, you know, said, I'm going into the Army, that was the big opportunity for Roy. I'm forgetting the name of the first picture that he did at Republic, but it was written for Gene, and mm-hmm. they just switched it over to Roy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the name is escaping me.
Oh, Susanna?
I don't remember.
It sure could be. Gosh, mm-hmm. there's so many that are song titles, I can't remember which is which.
Anyway.
But, and something coming up on TCM that's very, very nice. You know, every August, that's their month where every day is devoted to a different movie star, and mm-hmm. they do all those people's movies that day. This month, first time, Monday, August 28th, they're honoring Slim Pickens.
Oh, very cool.
Now, you know they're going to show Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But they're
yeah.
also over and showing over, some probably. Terrific, very hard to find of Slim's movies. They're showing Rocky Mountain, which is his first with a speaking part. And for my money, it's the best Western Errol Flynn ever made. They're showing the story of Will Rogers, the Gunn Brothers with him and Buster Crabbe, The Honkers, which is, I would say, the best movie ever made about rodeo, and Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, which is one of Slim's best performances.
Oh, my God. I was just going to say, I loved him in that movie, although he was in it such a short time.
You know, short time, but
yeah,
what a heartbreaker.
Oh, my gosh, yes. What a great performance he put out.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
And now this doesn't happen, and the event doesn't happen until the weekend of October 6th. But this week, tickets just went on sale for the Lone Pine Film Festival.
Mm-hmm. That's coming up.
Yeah, I think Eric will be going to that.
I'm sure.
And Court, yeah.
Yeah, Eric. And,
I'll bet.
Yeah, and Al, and yeah, Courtney.
And what you know what? You can read all about this and more at www.henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
Thanks, pal. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Can't wait. Have a great one, guys.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye, Henry.
You bet.
Yep.
That's fun. We haven't had Henry on in a while.
I know. So, who is on your concert next week?
Oh, thank you for asking. We have John Zipperer, who is a local singing songwriter. He does a whole wide across many genres. He's always great for a good time. He's bringing four additional musicians with him. This concert is next Friday, August 25th. The doors open at 7 with the concert at 8. We anticipate this truly could sell out because John has a pretty strong fan base. So we would recommend reservations, and that number again is 661. What is that number?
661-347-9700.
Tell us you heard it on the writer's block, and we'll do something special for you on ticket price because we would love to see you there.
Of course. And of course, next week, we have the man himself, Mr. Craig Johnson, the originator of Longmire, will be on the phone with us here in the writer's block next week. And if you actually want to meet Craig, he is going to be Tuesday, September 5th. He's going to be in Orange, California at the Book Carnival at 7 o'clock. And on the 6th, he's going to be in Rancho Mirage at the Rancho Mirage Library at 4 o'clock.
Oh, my gosh.
So if you get a chance to go out there to either Orange or Rancho Mirage, Rancho Mirage is out past Palm Springs. Take the trip. It's well worth it. We've talked to Craig now a couple times, and Craig's a great guy, and he'll be with us next week.
Great.
Talking about his new book and Longmire series.
So we'll make sure to post those dates on the Writer's Block Facebook page. So you don't have to remember and keep track of it now.
Absolutely. And, of course, on the 31st, we have author Mike Bond will be joining us, the author of Assassins and Snow.
Which I'll be starting tonight.
I'm actually about halfway through Craig's new book, so.
Yeah, oh, great.
And I'm almost done with Mike's Assassins. So, oh, my God, mm-hmm. that's a big book. So, anyway, other than that, we got lots and lots of stuff coming up. September 7th is going to be the big night. That's our two-hour special. And we'll be talking about agents and about publishers, and writers will be calling in. Richard will be in studio with us. And we have Kathleen Rogers, I believe, is going to be calling in for sure and talking to us from Texas. And I hope we can get a few agents to call in.
An editor would be nice.
Or, you know, so we don't know. We just never know. But it's going to be 2 hours, and we'll be here at 7 to 9 on Thursday, September 7th. And that is it for us tonight. This has been a great night for everyone, and it's a wonderful show tonight. And Bobby, always a pleasure.
It's so much fun. I always look forward to Thursdays.
I know, and it's just like craziness.
Thursday is my highlight every week. It's all about Thursday for me.
And I just see these weeks go by so fast.
I can't believe it.
So anyway,
I come to the end of a book, and I know it must be Thursday.
It must be Thursday. If this is Thursday, it must be the end of a book. Okay, that's it for us tonight. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next Thursday on the same channel, LA Talk Radio. And, of course, you'll be listening to The Writer's Block.